بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مسجد دار السلام تورنتو كندا Friday after Asr Salah 10th of Ramadan 19th of July 2013 Fasting is a precious ibadat Zakat protects and sadqa cures Those who offer only 8 rakat ravi they miss 2 sunnah Allah's rahmah surpasses his anger When and how the azab comes on the Muslims. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Limbada Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi Sayyidina Maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا جاءك الذين يؤمنون بآياتنا فقل سلام عليكم كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة أنه من عمل منكم سوءا بجهالة ثم تاب من بعده وأصلح فأنه غفور رحيم وكذلك نفصل الآيات ولتستبين سبيل المجرمين وقال تعالى وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما درود شریف پڑھیں بھائی رسائل درود شریف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد میرا گلا تو خراب ہے اگر مائک بھی خراب رہا تو کام زیادہ خراب ہو جائے گا اس لیے اس کو ذرا قریب کرنے کی ضرورت ہے بس کیا کریں کینیڈا والے جوس نکالتے ہیں اورنج جوس کی طرح سکویز کرتے ہیں ہم کو بھی اچھا لگتا ہے الحمدللہ جو دین کی خدمت ہو جائے اللہ قبول فرمائے ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز برادرز فرینڈز وی ور کرائنگ آؤٹ فار رمضان 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 از کمنگ رمضان از کمنگ رمضان از آن اٹس وے اینڈ 10 روزاز ہیو آلریڈی پاسڈ ٹائم از موونگ آن ویری فاسٹ ویری سوئفٹلی اٹ از امنگ دا سائنز آف قیامہ That time will move very swiftly. Yawmun kya hai? Kasanatin wa yawmun ka shahrin. Na wo to Dajjal ki hadith mein hai. Lekin wahan hatta takuna sanatu ka shahri wa shahru kal jumu'ati wal jumu'atu kal yawmi wal yawmu ka dharmatin min an-nar. Time will move so fast. The year will be like a month like a week like a day like striking a fire. That's how fast time will go. And that's what we are noticing. Ramzan last year so quickly, next Ramzan, and now is going to be Eid, and then Hajj, and then the other Ramzan, Rabiul Awwal, Rajab, Shaban, Ramzan, fadabat, fadabat, we're into the cycle. So time is moving very, very fast, and we have to move with the times as well. We have to do as many ibadat as we can, and get ready and prepare for our akhirat. May Allah give us tawfiq to realize the value of time and to keep preparing. Respected elders, brothers, friends, we know what to do in Ramadan. Keep our fast properly, alhamdulillah. All of you seated here are fasting. Even the young ones as well. But many brothers, sisters out there are not fasting. They don't fast just for small, small, flimsiest of reasons. I have to go to work, my job. And this is so hard and this and that. Silly excuses and they lose out on such a valuable ibadat. Sawm is a very precious ibadah. Very precious ibadah. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah said in the hadith, كُلُّ عَمَلْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ يُضَاعَفْ الْحَسَنَةُ بِيَعْشِرِ يَمْثَالِهَا إِلَىٰ سَبْعِمِيَةِ ضِعْفٍ إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ. قال الله تعالى فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به يدع طعامه وشهوته من أجلي. Every deed of the human being is multiplied at least 10 times up to 700 times. Meaning on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will increase the reward. Increase it, increase it, increase it. For $1 you gave, Allah will say, no, you didn't give $1. Allah will look at your sincerity, your honesty. And then Allah will say, I will give you as though you gave $700. So in your book it will be written 700 and Allah will reward you according to that. So every amal is counted, the reward will be counted except for sawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, sawm is for me and I will personally reward it. I won't tell the angels to give you the reward of sawm. Salat, zakat, hajj, angels will give you reward. But sawm, Allah Himself will give you the reward for it. Imagine when Allah is going to give reward, how much He will give. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi narrated one hadith in Tanbihul Ghafilin that on the day of Qiyamah, when Hisab Kitab is done, people have been given their rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the Sabireen on one side. And say, all those who are afflicted by trials, problems, they should come on one side. And they will be brought on one side. And then, thawab and reward will rain down upon them like a heavy rainfall. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. And then he recited the ayat, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The sabireen will be given their reward without counting. Now, sawm is also sabr. وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُهُ الْجَنَّةِ Rasulullah said, الصَّوْمُ نِصْفُ الصَّبْرِ Sawm is half of sabr. It's part of patience. So we hope that those who struggle through the fast, inshallah, Allah will give them more reward. I was talking to one friend and he said, Mawlana Sahab, I'm late. It's so late at night and I have to go to work in the morning as well. I asked him, what time you go to work, what time you come back? And then I said, you know something, your sawab will be double, triple, maybe 10 times more than my sawab because I sleep throughout the day. And you work throughout the day. You're struggling more. Ajruki ala qadri nasabiki. Reward is according to the effort you make. Your effort is more than mine, your sawab will be more than mine. So, sawm is a great ibadah. A very, very precious ibadah. It's valuable. You can't estimate how much reward and thawab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give for sawm. Provided it's kept properly the way in which we are required to fast. So, we should not abandon sawm fasting for small, small, flimsiest reasons. Before coming here, someone asked, Mawlana Sahab, I travel from London to Bradford every day and I'm always on a journey traveling. So is it okay if I don't fast? Because I'm a musafir. I said, no, bhai. How could you even think of leaving Ramzan's Roza for this reason? And tell me, at the time of Suhoor, are you traveling or are you at home? I said, no, I'm at home. Well, if you are at home at Suhoor time, then Roza is farz upon you. The rukhsa is only for those who are at safar during the suhoor time. When they are in traveling, when it's sari time, when the niyat time, when the roza starting, beginning time. So you're at home, you have to keep roza. And these days traveling is so easy. You have air conditioned cars. You know, going through the mountain hills like, on the camels like Sahaba used to do. Even in that condition, they used to fast. At the instance of Fatih Makkah, the whole army is traveling. And many, many Sahabas were fasting. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to stop them. When Makkah came close, they were at a distance. Rasulullah said, now nobody should fast. Because we need to be prepared just in case. So the Sahabas were fasting, Rasulullah had to stop them. Because there was a battle ahead of them. They needed to preserve their energy. So, Sawm is a great ibadat. We should make dua for those youngsters or those elderly who are able to fast but still not fasting, giving fidya. We have seen people who say, Maulana sahab gave maslahat, if you're diabetic, it's okay if you don't fast. And he's healthy, he runs around markets and shopping and everywhere, and then he eats during the day. His children look at him, why is Abba eating? Oh, no problem. The child is, the son is keeping roza, the daughter is keeping roza, but the father is not keeping roza. So you should not abandon roza for these types of reasons. You try your best. Try your best. Allah will help you. Allah will help you. There are people out there who are 80, 90 and who are still fasting. I know of someone who is on a dialysis. And doctor said, don't fast. But he says, Maulana sahab, the day I have to go for dialysis, still I try and I do my roza. And Allah helps me, I just do my roza, alhamdulillah. Even the doctor said, no, but I still do it, and Allah helps me, I keep it. Whenever I can, I keep it. When I'm too weak, I can't. That's the time I have to give fidya for that day. So even people on dialysis are trying to fast. So where there's a will, there's a way. Try and keep your fast properly. We have to keep our rozas. There is no choice over here. It's an obligation. So we have to fulfill that obligation and that farz. May Allah give hidayah to those youngsters, boys and girls who are not fasting, to keep their fast properly and get this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is also the month of bringing ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praying our salah properly. The menfolk should try and perform all their salah in masjid with takbir-e-ula. The best salah is the one with takbir-e-ula. You come for jamaat early. We should always try and pray salah with takbir-e-ula. Like our mashayikh, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, who was the patron sarparast of Darul Ulum Deoband. He used to come in the annual jalsa. He came, jalsa finished, and it was time for Asr Salah. He was going to the house to do wudu, and there was too much crowd, and people started shaking hands, and he couldn't refuse. He was shaking people's hands. By the time he got to the house and performed wudu and comes back, Salah had started. So he joined somewhere at the back, and then after Salam was, he didn't miss any rakat, he only missed Takbir-e-Ula. After Salam, you know, he was sad. Someone asked him, Hazrat, anything wrong? Why are you looking so sad? He said, No, something is wrong, Hazrat. And he said, Bhai, 22 saal ke baad aaj Takbir-e-Ula choti hai. After 22 years, this is the first time I have missed my Takbir-e-Ula. So they used to perform salah with jamaat, with takbir-e-ula throughout their whole life. If we can't spend our whole life with takbir-e-ula, at least 1 month of Ramadan with takbir-e-ula, come early, perform your salah with the first takbir. As soon as Imam says Allahu Akbar, we also say Allahu Akbar. This is takbir-e-ula. Not when we join in the second rakat, third rakat, fourth rakat, at-tahiyyat. This salah has no power. The powerful salah is the one in which we join with the imam with takbir-e-ula. So try and pray your salah throughout the month of Ramadan with takbir-e-ula. Not just 5 daily salah, the taraweeh as well. Pray the taraweeh also with takbir-e-ula. Many people sit back and keep listening to the imam. When imam goes in ruku, this is laziness. When the imam is reciting the Quran, you should join him with him with takbir-e-ula. So perform your salah with takbir-e-ula. This is what is required. It's for your own benefit. It's for your own good. Then, my dear brothers, zakah. We have to give our zakat properly. Try and give your zakat. Calculate it properly during the month of Ramadan. Most people give zakat in Ramadan, although it's not a requirement, but it's our Asian habit to give in Ramadan. Normally, we should give zakat. We have a date on which we became malik of the nisab, owner of the nisab, the threshold. When we cross that threshold, we have to remember that date. And on that date, every year on that date, whether it's 15th of Muharram, or 26th of Rajab, or 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah, or 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, we have to remember the lunar calendar date. And every year on that lunar calendar date, we have to give zakat. But most people forget, don't pay attention. So let's say a person makes his zakat date 1st of Ramadan. So every year at first of Ramadan, whatever he possesses, he has to give that zakat. Now remember, my dear brothers, this date is very important. Very important. Because you don't have to give zakat on everything you get. Let's say a person gives zakat on first of Ramadan. Now, he sold a house in Muharram and he got 100,000, 500,000. He doesn't have to give zakat on that 500,000. It's not on wherever you get, you have to give zakat on that. Many people think that you get a lump sum, you have to give zakat on it. No. You only give zakat once a year. And that's the day. You have to remember that day. Let's say for your case, we have fixed first of Ramadan. And we give every year zakat on the first of Ramadan. So on first of Ramadan, whatever you have to give zakat. If you sold your house and the money was deposited into your account 5 days before Ramadan, and you are calculating your zakat, you have to include that $500,000 in your zakat. But if the time passed, you sold your house, but the money was not given to you, and it was given 5 days after Ramadan started, on the 5th of Ramadan, and you have calculated your zakat on the 1st, you have given your zakat. Now this $500,000 comes into your account. You don't need to give zakat on it, because it's come in your possession after that date. So now you understand why this date is very important. You have to keep that date in mind, and that date, you have to, every year, you have to calculate, make a total of how much you have in cash in hand, in banks, in shares, in business, in stocks, and whatever goods you have, whatever products you have produced, and all that, estimate of that, and then on that, you have to give your zakat. So calculate your zakat properly, and give your zakat properly, because giving zakat is also an obligation, and it's a farz, and there are many benefits in giving zakat. One of the good benefits is, when you give your zakat properly, your wealth is protected. No afat will come on your wealth, inshallah. Your wealth will not be destroyed. Rasulullah has said this. He said, حَصِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ. Protect your maal by giving zakat properly. دَعْوُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Cure your sick people by giving sadaqah. Today we have insurance policies, health insurance, medical insurance. Why not have this insurance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By sadaqah. Sadaqah upon sadaqah. Abundance of sadaqah. This is your insurance with Allah. Allah will cure you by giving the sadaqah. Insurance will be very expensive. This sadaqah is not very expensive. Give as much as you can and Allah will cure. Many, many cases we have seen where a person has been cured by sadaqah. Alhamdulillah, it has been our habit in our culture that when something comes, someone is ill, we immediately give sadaqah on their behalf. Bhai, gai ka sadaqah karo, bakre ka sadaqah karo. Wahan ghareebon ke upar do, miskinon ko madrasay ke andar bhej do. So we send sadaqah here and there, and because of that sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives cure and shifa. So, in Ramadan, we have to keep fast properly, we have to pray our salah properly, we have to give our zakah properly, and we have to recite Quran as much as we can. As much as we can. Quran has a haq and a right upon every Muslim, male and female, young and old. We have to recite the Quran. We have no choice. On the day of Qiyamah, Quran will either be an evidence for us or an evidence against us. It will put a claim for us to help us intercede on our behalf, or it will put a claim against us. Which means, Quran will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, what type of a Muslim was this? That you sent me to him, he never took hold of me. He never recited me. He never opened me. He never recited the Quran." Some people argue that what's the point of reciting when you don't understand? This is the shaitani waswasa. Don't fall for this waswasa. Shaitan wants to distract you from the Quran. That's why he whispers this in your mind, that if you don't understand Quran, what is the point of reciting? No, my dear brothers, there is point in reciting the Quran. Read it. It's not like any other book on that shelf. It's a special book. It's a unique book. It's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has ordered you to recite it by saying in the first ayat of the 21st sifara, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka minal kitab wa aqimis salah." Recite the book which has been revealed to you. Establish salah. This is for both Rasulullah and for every ummati. We all have to recite the book. We all have to establish the salah. So, recite the book, it's an order, it's an instruction, we should recite it. And I normally say, the call of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. His research is that it is the right and the haq of Quran upon every individual Muslim that he should at least finish 2 khatams throughout the year. 2 khatams. If you don't recite it throughout the year, at least in Ramadan, read 2 juz every day, then in 15 days you'll do 1 khatam, another 15 days you'll do another khatam, at least 2 khatams during the month of Ramadan. So recite the Quran whenever you get time. Recite it as much as you can. Many, many benefits. Quran is full of nur, nuraniyat, ruhaniyat, barakat. For every letter you read, Allah gives you 10 hasanat. Alif, lam, mim, 3 letters. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, 19 letters, 190 hasanat. The more you read, the more hasanat you will gather. If you read 1 khatam whole Quran, there are nearly 400,000 letters in the Quran. You do complete 1 khatam, you become millionaire. Hasanat upon hasanat. So, we have to recite the Quran, especially during the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan is the month of Quran. شهر رمضان الذي ينزل فيه القرآن إنا نزلناه في ليلة القدر. So this is why Quran and Ramadan have special connection. We have to read as much Quran as we can throughout the month of Ramadan. My dear brothers, these are few a'mal which we need to do. We must do. They are a must. Duty upon every individual Muslim. We have to do this. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Thereafter, my dear brothers, Ramadan is moving on fast. 1 ashara is gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. The first part of it is rahmah, second part is maghfirah, and third part is emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. So the first ashara of rahmah has passed. Now the next ashara of maghfirat is starting. This does not mean that Allah's rahmah has stopped. No, Allah's rahmah is continuous. It's continuously showering upon us. This means, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Fadail Ramadan, in the commentary of this hadith, that it could mean, Allah knows best what his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means, but there is possibility that it could mean that the sa'imeen fall into one of 3 categories. Number 1, the first category of those Ahlullah, friends of Allah, Awliyaullah, who are always busy in Allah's worship, ibadat, throughout the year. They don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't sin. They are always praying their salah properly and behaving properly throughout the whole year. So for these Ahlullah, Awliyaullah, the 11 months and Ramzan, their life is same. Because they've always been on the track. Many mashayikh, they were so busy throughout the year that in Ramadan, they could not make extra worship. Their worship was same as it was throughout the rest of the year. This was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. His tahajjud salah in Ramadan and non-Ramadan was same. Like in the hadith of Aisha, 8 rakats. That 8 rakah is reference to tahajjud, not taraweeh. Some people get mixed up. And they say it's Taraweeh, and they run off after 8 rakats. Those who run off after 8 rakats are missing out on 2 sunnahs. 1, the sunnah of performing full 20 rakats, and 2, the sunnah of listening to the whole Quran in Ramzan. Both are sunnahs. So if a person goes away after 8 rakats, he's missing out on both sunnahs. Sunnah of Sayyiduna Umar, Sayyiduna Uthman, Sayyiduna Ali, Khulafai Rashideen. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-Khulafai Rashideen al-Mahdiyyin. Addu alayha bin Nawajiz. So, Hazrat Aisha was referring to tahajjud. So 11 months and Ramadan, his normal tahajjud would be 8 rakats. So his ibadat, that just that the quantity would not increase, but the quality would increase. He would recite more Quran, but the rakat, the adad of rakat would be same. So similarly, many mashayikh, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh writes that Hazrat's normal habit of tahajjud throughout the year would be the tahajjud 8 rakats. In Ramadan as well, same, just that he would lengthen his rakats and read more juz and more sipara in those rakats. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Balamshehri Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Tazkiratul Khaleel that during one journey we were on a train and the whole train was full with people. There was so much luggage as well. Not much room to move around. So I thought to myself that tonight, it was a night journey as well, Hazrat won't be able to pray his tahajjud. What's going to happen? But he says, to my amazement, we all rested after Isha Salah. And when I woke up at suhoor time, tahajjud time, not sadi, tahajjud time, it was non-Ramzan, he said, I see that Hazrat's not there. So I get up and I go to look for him and he's at the door of the train. The train is moving slowly and Hazrat is performing wuzu. I helped him and then I thought, where is he going to pray? And Hazrat had already found a space for him on one corner, one area, and he prayed his tahajjud on the train with the same itminan and tranquility as he would pray at home. So our mashayikh, their ibadat throughout the year would be same. So for these people, as soon as Ramadan starts, then the rahmah of Allah is attracted and is descending upon them as it was descending upon them throughout the year. For them, the rahmah starts right from the beginning, the first roza. The second category is of those people who make mistakes here and there, who sin, who err, and who do wrong things. For these people, when they start fasting, they keep one roza, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they're doing roza properly, behaving properly, namaz properly, taraweeh properly. Then Allah looks at them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts forgiving their sins in the second ashra. Somebody is forgiven on the 11th, someone on the 12th, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then we have the category of number 3 of those Muslims who are too much into sins. Sins of the eyes, always watching movies, sins of the ears, listening to songs all the time, sins of the tongue, saying things which we shouldn't be saying, speaking evil all the time, ghibat, jood, lying, backbiting, fabricating, slandering, accusing, insulting, swearing, and the sins of the belly, sins of the hands and the feet, eating haram things, earning haram, haram kamai. So all these sins, they are engrossed into a life of sinning. So this is the third category of people. For these people, they keep fast from beginning of Ramzan until 20th, and they fast properly. They show some remorse, show some regret. They realize that we have sinned, we have made mistake, we should give up all these bad habits, and we should behave properly. When they realize this, they do tawbah, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts freeing them, emancipating them from Jahannam. Meaning, they have put their names on the list of the Jahannamis, so Allah now crosses their names out, puts tipex on it, rubs it off. That this person has done tawbah, he has made me happy, he has kept his fast 20 days, so I am crossing his name out from the list of Jahannamis. This is emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Somebody's name is crossed out on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, somebody on Laylatul Qadr. So in this way, Rasulullah explained that the first ashara is for rahmah, second is for maghfirah, third is for emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. The ashara and the first 10 days of rahmah are now completing, my dear brothers. That is why I want to talk a little bit about the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, I recited the ayah to you in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Your Rabb has fixed upon himself rahmah and mercy, that he will deal with mercy. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَعْبَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Whosoever commits a sin out of ignorance, and then he holds his ears, repents, does tawbah, and he rectifies his condition, becomes a good person, then Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah has promised, Allah will forgive him. Allah will have mercy on him. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In this manner, we explain our verses, and so that the path of the criminals can come into the open. People can realize what is the path of the mujrimeen so that they can avoid that path and they can come on this path of rahmat and maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent, do tawbah from their sins and attract Allah's rahmah and mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmah encompasses everything. Meri rahmat har shay ko gher leti hai. Uska ihata kar leti hai. Apne andar le leti hai. For example, the ocean. Whatever you drop in the ocean will take it in. It will sink inside. So Allah said, my rahmah is like that ocean. It will take everything inside. I will ignore, I will forgive and forgive and forgive and pardon and pardon. وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. I will fix my rahmah for those who have taqwa. Fear of Allah. Constant awareness of Allah at the back of their minds. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Who give their zakah properly. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And who believe in our verses, our signs. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّي. Those who are following the messenger, the prophet, the unschooled. الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Who is noted down, whose attributes, his name and his whereabouts and all his description is given in detail in Tawrat and in Injil. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Instructs them to do good. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Forbids for them the munkar and the sinning and disobedience. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And who makes halal for them the wholesome and beautiful things. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Who makes haram for them the khabith things. Anything that is haram is khabith. Is no good for you. That's why Allah made it haram. So avoid that haram thing. Whether it's ingredients, whether it's income, whether it's wealth, whether it's property. Whatever Allah said haram, interest, gambling, qimar and sood and all this. There's something wrong in there. That's why Allah made it haram. It's khabith. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوا وَنَصَرُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So Allah said, Allah's rahmah covers everything. It will be fixed for those who have these attributes in them, who have taqwa, who give their zakah properly, who follow the messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ita'at, ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, and completed everything. And he ascended the throne in the manner which befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wrote a note and kept it on the arsh with him. And on that note, on that frame, it's written in huge writings. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghazabi. Surely my rahmah surpasses my anger and wrath. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with rahmah more than He's dealing with ghadab. Very rarely does He get angry. He's all the time He's showing His rahmah and His mercy. 24/7. We see His rahmah all the time. Every breath we take with afiyat. 24,000 breaths we take, we breathe throughout the day. Every breath with afiyat, with peace, with sukoon, with security is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we see around us, iman, Islam, Quran, being in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hidayat, guidance, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, the tawfiq to sit in the masjid and to listen to the dars and to listen to the bayan, and the tawfiq to recite the Quran, the tawfiq to do zikr, fikr, the tawfiq to do i'tikaf, all these is rahmah. It's Allah's rahmah showering upon us. When people gather, remembering Allah, Allah's rahmah, غَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, Allah's rahmah covers them. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, Sakina comes down into their hearts. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, The angels surround them and gather them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ Allah remembers them with those who are with Allah, who are carrying the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's rahmah is always with us. He deals with His rahmah more than how He deals with His anger. This is why, whenever we start to do something, we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Pak put these beautiful two attributes there. Allah did not put Bismillahil Azizil Jabbaril Qahar. He could have done, He's got 99 names. Al Aziz, Al Jabbar, Al Mutakabbir, Subhanallah Amma Yushrikun. He is mighty, He is powerful, He is subduer, He is worthy of all pride. He is the worthy of Kibr and Barai and Azamat and pride. Someone once said, one time I was talking to this mulhid, and he said, I don't believe in God, I don't like God. He was an Arab, speaking Arabic. Inni la uhibbullah. لأنه الجبار متكبر. Because Allah is جبار متكبر. So the person Muslim was shocked. He said, what was that? You shouldn't say that. So I thought to myself, what is the answer to that? And then answer came in my mind. I said, yeah. Allah is, of course, is Jabbar and Mutakabbir. For khabees people like you. But for those who believe in Allah like me, He is Rahman and Rahim. Because He needs both qualities. You can't have just a soft God, who is always soft. No, you have to be firm and strong as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defects. No defects, no weaknesses in Allah. Allah is powerful, He is subduer, He is worthy of all praise and all pride, as He is Rahman and He is Rahim and He is Salam and He is Mu'min and He has all these nice attributes as well, but He is very strong and firm as well. So we read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Surah Fatiha, we read Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and then Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaibi wa shahada, huwa Rahman Rahim. Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim. He is the most gracious, He is most merciful, He is compassionate, He is full of mercy. Some people object over here. Okay, if He is merciful, then why all the suffering throughout the world? There should be no suffering. What is the answer to that? The answer to that is, you are causing this objection because you are blaming everything on God, everything on Allah. Everything that happens is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing everyone. Why not think of the reasons and the causes of these sufferings? What causes these sufferings? Let me explain this a little bit more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the first human being, Sayyiduna Adam, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah taught Adam alayhi salam and his children the way of living on earth. And humanity progressed. For 1,000 years, as long as Adam alayhi salam was alive, his life was 960 years. There were no sufferings, there were no punishment, there were no azabs, anything. Adam alayhi salam passes away, Shis alayhi salam, his son, during his life and after that, teaches everything. Slowly, people start going on wrong track, worshipping statues and idols, committing shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Sayyiduna Nuh ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam. And Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam invites them towards Tawheed, oneness of Allah, to correct their faith, Iman, and to correct their actions and habits. But they refuse to believe. They are proudy, they are haughty, they are boasting people. فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ثُوَّ وَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا أَنُؤْمِنُ لَكَ وَاتَّبَعَكَ الْأَرْذَلُونَ. These types of remarks. مَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَازِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّيْءِ وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Nuh, you are a liar. You are only fabricating things. We don't believe in you. Only the lowly people are following you. Why should we follow you? These attitudes, this habit and this attitude is the one now which is attracting Allah's anger and wrath. Nuh alayhi salam stayed among them for nearly 950 years. Then, when Nuh alayhi salam got really, really fed up after that hard work of going around morning, evening, public, private, homes, inviting people, instructing, nobody is listening, nobody wants to follow him. وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ Then he said, رَبِّ إِنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا When Nuh alayhi salam made this dua, that is when Allah's anger and wrath came into Josh. And this was the first azab that came upon the humanity. After how many years? At least, after 2,500 years. There was no suffering then. When people behaved properly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. When they start misbehaving, insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieving, shirk, polytheism, kibr, takabbur, and all these kufr and denial and rejection, that is when the azab comes. And then you see prophets upon prophets to nations. You read the Quran, Qawmi Aad, Qawmi Samud, Qawmi Salih, Qawmi Lut, and Qawmi Shu'ayb, and Al-Mu'tafiqat, and these people. What were the reasons why Allah's azab and that suffering came upon them? Somewhere there is takabbur, like the people of Nuh alayhi salam. Also like the people of Aad. فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً They were proudy, haughty, and they said, who is more severe in power than us? Who is more powerful than us? And Allah replied, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً Do they not see that Allah who created them is more powerful than them? They fail to realize that. This arrogance, this haughtiness, this is what brought the azab on them. The people of Salih alayhi salam, Qawm Samud, they were into the dunya. They fell for the life of this dunya. They used to make beautiful homes and mansions as though they're going to live here for years and years, forever, eternal. They're never going to die. They used to make delicious foods. They used to grow plants and crops. And with the fruits and vegetations, they used to make varieties of delicacies and fruits and vegetables and this and that. أَتُتْرَقُونَ فِي مَا هَا هُنَا آمِنِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَظِيمٍ وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ When they disbelieve, Allah's azab came. Same with Qawm Lut. We all know what happened to the people of Lut and why the azab came upon them due to the liwatat which they used to do. People of Shu'ayb, they were businessmen and they used to cheat people. Dandi marna. Thug people, cheat people, fraud. Give less and take more. This was their habit. Along with that, many other habits. So these were the reasons. Now we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't punish anyone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ Allah does not do injustice to any people. The people themselves do injustice to them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Allah does not do zulm. It's the people who do zulm upon themselves. It's you who's asking for the wrath and the anger of Allah. You are being advised, you are being counseled, explained to you many, many things, but you don't want to listen. That's when the azab of Allah comes. So, where we see suffering in many areas, earthquakes, landslides, tsunamis, first of all, we shouldn't immediately think it's azab. It could be some other reasons as well. But if it is, then it is for the wrongdoings of those people. Secondly, if there is some suffering, we think that this is azab punishment, whereas many times it's not punishment, it's a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people as well. So that suffering, for example, if someone falls ill, let's say Allah forbid cancer or any other severe illness, don't think it's a punishment for his sins. No. It's a test. Imtihan. Allah is Allah. We are his creation. If he wants to take our imtihan, this dunya is a place of test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah wants to test us. So He can test us in whichever way He wants. Some people Allah gives ni'mat and He tests their shukr and gratitude. Other people Allah gives them musibat and He tests their sabr. When Allah checks a person out and he is happy, He says to Malakul Maut, "Oh Malakul Maut, go and get so and so person. I have tested him many ways and he's always been patient. I am happy with him. Bring me his soul so that I can reward him for his sabr and his patience." Look at Sayyiduna Ayyub alayhi salam. He was a very wealthy person. Very wealthy person, extremely wealthy. He had a huge mansion, large family. And he had gardens and orchards surrounding date trees and fruit trees and grapes and vineyards and all this. And he was he had many, many workers working for him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to test, Allah took away all that. Earthquake, mansion is gone, and flood, and all the bagh is gone, and his body, he's got juzam in his body, leprosy, and he's bedridden, and he's bedridden. He can't move, bedridden, disabled, handicapped. Everybody runs away, nobody there to look after him. Only his wife, she looks after him. And he stays in this musibat for 10 years. Not 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. He is disabled, bedridden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed his test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restores his good health and returns his wealth. Ayyub alayhi salam becomes healthy again. And he regains his health and his wealth is given back to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Sayyiduna Ayyub alayhi salam. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوب إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ أركض برجلك هذا مغتسل بارد وشراب ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب وخذ بيدك ضغثا فاضرب به ولا تحنس. And then Allah said, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. ہم نے ایوب کو بڑا صبر والا پایا, بڑا چنگا بندہ تھا, بہت رجوع کرنے والا تھا ہماری طرف. We found him very patient person. And he was a very nice person. And he used to turn towards us all the time. His ibadat, his worship, which he used to do before being afflicted with the illness, he kept those ibadat up during the illness as well. His tasbihat, his azkar, his prayers, his salat, his ibadat, he kept it up. So, this was a test for Ayyub alayhi salam. And Allah made Ayyub alayhi salam a role model for the sabireen who come after him. No matter how much bimari you get, you are in cancer for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, take lesson from Ayyub alayhi salam. Sabri Ayyub, always keep Sabri Ayyub before your eyes, how sabir he was. So, sufferings are not always a punishment from Allah, sometimes they are a test. And many times they are rahmah as well. There is rahmah in the suffering as well. When the Qaziyah of Bosnia was taking place, people were being murdered here and there. So much was going on. Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Sahab Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh was alive. Someone said, Hazrat, ye kya ho raha hai udhar? Itne itne log mar rahe hain, aurtein mar rahi hain, bachche mar rahe hain, boodhe mar rahe hain, aadmiyon ko ikhatta karke dafan kar diya jata hai mass graves ke andar. تو اللہ پاک کو ان بچوں پر اور بوڑھوں پر رحم نہیں آتا؟ Does Allah not show mercy to those people? And Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan صاحب said, بھائی ایسا معلوم ہوتا ہے کہ اللہ رب العزت والجلال کے یہاں امت محمدیہ کے شہداء کا ایک کوٹا ہے اور ہر زمانے میں اس کوٹا کو فل کرنا ضروری ہے. تو اس زمانے میں اللہ کے رستے میں وہ محنت نہیں ہو رہی ہے, شہید اوپر نہیں جا رہے ہیں, تو اللہ اس بہانے سے شہداء کو لے لیتے ہیں اور کوٹے کو فل کر دیتے ہیں. اور اس میں ان کے لیے کتنی رحمت ہے یہ دیکھو کہ ایک شخص کی پوری زندگی گناہ میں گزری, دین سے دور گزری, اللہ پاک نے تھوڑی آفت ڈالی, شہادت دے دی اور اس کو جنت کے اعلیٰ درجے میں پہنچا دیا. और वो दुनिया तो अजीब दुनिया है, वहां जो जाता है सब इस दुनिया को भूल जाते हैं. My Hazrat was giving bayan, I was listening to my Hazrat's bayan just this afternoon, and Hazrat was talking about Maulana Gora Sahib who passed away, and then he mentioned this young girl who was graduate of our Jamia in Bradford, and she was a mother of a few children, and she passed away. Hazrat said, one of her friends saw her in dream. Tabassum apa. One of her friends saw her in a dream and asked her, how are you? He said, oh, I'm really enjoying myself, Ori. I'm really good. So Hazrat said that, look, when she went into that dunya, she forgot all her children over here. She's left behind 4 or 5 children and she doesn't even remember the children because that world is totally different. She knows over there that Allah will take care of my children. I don't need to worry about them. This life over here is the worryless. No worries over here. So, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi gave the reply that of course Allah is merciful. But these sufferings coming upon these people is also rahmah for them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Ummati Muhammadiyah so much that Allah has fixed that in every era, in every generation, there should be this amount of shuhada from Ummati Muhammadiyah. And because those shuhada are not coming, so in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the shuhada and gives them the high ranks of وَالشُّهَدَاءُ وَعِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ وَنُورُهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله امواتا بل احياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما اتاهم الله من فضله. And Hazrat said that, look, this is also rahmah, that they spend their whole life in sinning, disobeying, not behaving properly in this, and Allah through this little bit of suffering gave them shahada and forgave all their sins of their whole life. So this is rahmah for them. So my dear brothers, finishing off my talk, I started off with this accusation which some people made that why all the suffering throughout the world, if God is merciful, then why do people have to suffer? This objection is made by the atheist community. And sometimes our youngsters also fall for these. When they hear these things from their lecturers, from the professors, or maybe read these types of materials on the internet, and these waswasas and shukuk shubuhat creep into the mind, and start objecting upon Allah, and then slowly lose faith in Allah, and stop behaving. Just a few days back over here, a couple came to see me in Medina Masjid. And they said, Maulana Sahab, one day before Ramzan, our one and only son dropped a bombshell over us. He said that this Ramzan, I'm not going to fast, I'm not going to pray. So we asked him, why? And I said, because I don't believe in God. This is all wrong. It's not true. So why should I fast and why should I, you know, strive and make so much effort? I'm not going to fast. And the parents are crying. Allah, what? How did you have it? Itna achcha bachcha. University going by 23 saal ka. This university, 22, 23 year old young man. He's got a whole world ahead of him. He's a very bright student. He's got a future ahead of him. And this has happened. So the Maulana Sahib, please make dua for him and give us some ta'weez or something to read. So I asked him the name and I took the names adad out from Abjad Hawaz Hutti and I said, after every namaz, read this wadifa, Ya Rashidu Ya Hadi, so many times according to the amount of the young man's name. Inshallah, make dua, Allah give him hidayat. Allah give him hidayat. Allah bring him back to deen and Allah give him istiqamat. And Allah give him tawfiq to fast and to pray properly. So my dear brothers, these objections, they creep in the mind and they take our iman away from us. This is why we have to be really careful. We have to strengthen our bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe that He is Rahman, He is Rahim. Whatever happens, Allah knows the reasons behind it. We don't need to go into those reasons. We need to see that Allah is extremely merciful. Every day His Rahmah is being showered upon us. It's only from time to time that tsunami or earthquake or these things happen. Not every day. And these things have increased in the last 10 years because of our own wrongdoings, my dear brothers. So we should think of ourselves. Where am I going wrong? Any musibat comes, just think, I've done something wrong, and this is why this has happened. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tawbah, I won't do this again. So we have to keep our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strong, our connection with Him strong, and inshallah, Allah Pak will have mercy upon us, Allah will forgive us as well. The ashara of rahmah is gone, now the ashara of maghfirah is starting. May Allah give us maximum share of His maghfirah and of His rahmah. This is what we want when we say, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseeran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Forgive me, have mercy upon me, you are ghafurur rahim. So we have to keep making this dua. May Allah accept, be pleased with us. Durood Sharif padh lein, mukhtasar dua kar lete hain. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما يا رحم الراحمين محضر اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دیجئے ہمارے ساتھ رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرمائیے یا اللہ ہم میں سے کسی ایک کو بھی یہاں سے محروم نہ جانے دیجئے یا اللہ ہم میں سے کسی ایک کو بھی یہاں سے محروم نہ اٹھنے دیجئے یا اللہ ہم میں آپ کے بہت سے نیک بندے ہیں سفید داڑھی والے بزرگ ہیں معصوم بچے ہیں یا اللہ ان کے صدقے دوفیر میں ہماری مغفرت فرما دیجئے یا اللہ بے شک ہم بہت گنہگار ہیں مجرم ہیں گندے ہیں مگر آپ ہی کے تو بندے ہیں آپ کے پاک پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امتی ہیں ان کی لاج رکھتے ہوئے ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دیجئے ہم کو اپنی رحمت خاصہ کا بھرپور حصہ نصیب فرمائیے یا رحم الراحمین پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما دیجئے پوری امت پر رحم کر دیجئے پوری امت کی بگڑی بنا دیجئے جمعہ کا دن ہے افطار کا وقت نزدیک ہے دعا کی قبولیت کی گھڑی ہے یا اللہ ہماری ساری دعائیں قبول کر لیجئے پورے رمضان میں جتنی دعائیں مانگی سب قبول کر لیجئے آئندہ جو دن باقی ہیں ان میں صحیح دعائیں مانگنے کی توفیق دیجئے ان دعاؤں کو قبول بھی فرمائیے یا اللہ ہم آپ سے یہی درخواست کرتے ہیں کہ آپ کے پاک پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے آپ سے جو بھلائیاں مانگی ہیں وہ سب ہم کو نصیب فرما دیجئے اور انہوں نے جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی ان سے ہمیں اپنی پناہ نصیب فرما دیجئے ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم وصلی اللہ وسلم علی سیدنا محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.